Hello, and welcome to the Varonida podcast. I'm your host, Tibbs, and together we're going to dive into the world of digital marketing, advertising, privacy, and how all of this ties to the blockchain. On this episode, I am joined by our advisor, Jean-Christophe Conti. Jean-Christophe has over 2 decades of experience in the media and publishing industry, having worked for 10 years for Yahoo, as well as Orange and AppNexus. He joins me to discuss the challenges faced by publishers today. Today, I'm joined by another one of our advisors, Jean-Christophe Conti. Hi, Jean-Christophe.
Hello, Thibaut. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So for people who are not familiar with you, could you present yourself to our audience?
Sure. So my name is Jean-Christophe Conti. I've been an international digital expert working essentially on the digital advertising business for the last 20 years. I held several exec positions, namely at Yahoo, but also at AppNexus and Right Media. And I've been working essentially in Europe, but also working very closely with the US.
Okay. And so you've been in the publishing and ads industry for a while. Can you tell me how you got started and who you worked with? You mentioned Yahoo, you mentioned AppNexus. I'd be happy to hear more.
Sure. So I actually started with Orange back then. I was in charge of the marketing and the business development of the WANADOO.fr and the WANA.fr portals. Mm-hmm. We are talking about something that was a role in the early 2000s. And then I worked for Overture, who was the inventors of the sponsored search listings. During a year, I was in charge of product and then business development all across Europe. When Overture got acquired by Yahoo, I quite naturally managed all the business development relation for Yahoo, which meant essentially signing up publishers to be able to display the sponsored listings from Yahoo back then on their websites. Then I wasn't only dealing with a sponsor search, but I built up the ad network from Yahoo in the EMEA markets. Essentially, Yahoo was site repping many publishers' websites all across Europe. More recently, within Yahoo still, I was in charge of the publisher group, so all of the relation with all the publishers across EMEA for Yahoo, across different kind of set and business lines. Mm-hmm. And during 2 years, I was also heading Right Media, which was the programmatic entity from Yahoo in the EMEA region. Then I left Yahoo in late 2014. I was heading the business unit on the supply side from AppNexus across Europe, mm-hmm. which obviously made me work even more onto the full stack ad stack and ad tech sort of solution for the publishers across Europe. And very recently, I've just joined the View platform, which is a digital platform on the digital out of home, meaning I've just started a few months ago.
Okay. It sounds like you got in the industry at the right time. I obviously, we're both familiar with how it was in France, but those portals, WANADOO, Orange, those were the first times that I experienced the internet on my end.
Yeah, well, let's say that the state of the business has evolved a lot. Mm-hmm. Back then, indeed, we were getting a connection through a 256K modem. It was like sort of a nightmare with a very, very old-fashioned noise, which right now is totally not what we are getting. And obviously, the usage has increased by that. Mm-hmm. Broadband has really opened many ways to engage with this medium.
Yeah. Like you said, the industry has been changing a lot in the past like 15 years or so. And mm-hmm. so especially in the past 5 years, like it feels like it's always accelerating. What have been some of the biggest shifts for you?
So this is an interesting question, because I think that you may be asking the same question to any other kind of people, and you're going to get very different kind of responses. Though I would really think on my end, sponsor search has been a big shift, because for the first time, based on the way this advertising business was really rolled up, advertisers understood what return on investment really was, and it was an easy metric, easy KPI to track. Mm-hmm. Before that, we were in the sort of branding approach, people selling banners and not really having a very clear understanding besides clicks rate. Here with sponsor search, it was a real new level in terms of the ability for the advertiser to really track how much they were spending and how much they were getting in terms of increased sales and so on and so forth. So that was one thing. The second topic, the second big shift has been the understanding about the data and the importance of the data. And here what I would really say is that the use of data is directly correlated to driving conversions. And that was very important also, because everybody understood that if you separate the value of data and the value of the media, and if you bring the data and the media all together, the value of the combination of two is much greater than the value of data and media taken separately. And everybody understood that. But that means that the people who were really changing the game in the online advertising landscape were the ones who were able to really build a proposition together with data and media all together. This is what Criteo has done in a very brilliant way. Mm-hmm. The third thing has been the rise of the walled garden and closed platform, Google platform, Facebook platform, mm-hmm. Twitter to some extent, Snapchat. We are here in front of a situation where these platforms are closed. You've got one entity, one big company who is controlling the platform in essence, and they have direct connection with the end users. They are bringing advertisers into it, media agencies into it. They're also offering the opportunity for some publishers or supply owners to play into this platform, but they really control that. And they are getting most of the money in the digital business right now. Mm-hmm. Just a number that you know, obviously, or you've been hearing about, last year, Google and Facebook were really getting something like 80% of every new dollar coming in the US on the digital advertising side. That's huge. That means that they were getting all the new business, all the new money was really spread out across these two kind of players. Mm-hmm. Others are really coming and want to participate. Amazon is one of the latest that we are seeing coming big time on this. Now, the trend on the early 2018 seems that this trend is reducing essentially for different reasons, which I'm sure that we will be talking about in a few minutes. But the very last big shift, I think, is obviously blockchain. The decentralized approach of blockchain will obviously allow players to be able to better share value across not only the buyers, the sellers, but also the end users, while having a true and much better transparent way to do business on the digital world. And that's going to change quite a lot of things. That is bringing a lot of opportunities to change the way this business has been growing.
As you said, like, we're going to explain some of this and unpack it a little more very shortly. Yeah. But for now, what would you say is the biggest threat for publishers today?
So, biggest threat, I would say, the digital advertising business has not really been able to step into a more qualitative game. It's still pretty much a volume game. And as a matter of fact, volume of ads, ad pressure, creating user fatigue. You've got quite a lot of users who've been obviously using ad blockers, because it helps them obviously to reduce the volume of ads. It helps them to better control which ad they want to understand or see, and so on and so forth. Yeah. And obviously, it reduces latency. But as a matter of fact, one of the obvious rules of the internet for some publishers, which was that creating content was financed by the online advertising, is not a rule that can really play at its full potential any longer. So the system is somehow a bit broken on that side. The other, obviously, issue is that the online industry is definitely suffering from a lack of trust. When you've got advertisers who are spending $1 and just 30 cents, 35 cents of that dollar are getting to the ones who are creating the media and owning the relation with the end user, meaning there is a lot of value which is spread out in the middle and which is to some extent lost.
Yeah.
And this is a real issue. And that obviously brings a lot of questions, and questions that the advertisers or the chief marketing officers of the world are asking: what about the digital advertising supply chain? It's murky at best. It's not clear. There is a lot of fraud, a lot of non-human traffic. We don't know what we are spending. We don't know exactly where that money really ends. And we are not really in control about how efficient our digital advertising strategies are. We obviously have in some metrics, but it's still not really clear. Just to give you a few numbers. Last year, on a global basis, $63 billion were spent on in terms of ad value, and between $20 and $80 billion were pockets by the publishers or the people who are creating content.
Mm-hmm.
That's less than a third.
Yeah.
Everything in the middle is money that nobody really gets a sense about where it goes. Obviously, you've got some middlemen at tech vendors and players in the middle who are bringing value, but you still have a lot of these guys who are eating out of meaning this pie, and nobody really sees why. And this is obviously taking a bigger kind of challenge. Fraud, just fraud within that volume is between $6 to $8 billion. That's a huge amount.
Yeah, that's absolutely huge.
The other big issue, frankly, and just to finish on that,
I think
it's about fake. It's about fake news. Definitely understand that publishers have. Journalists, these guys are writing stories that people want to hear about. This is the best way to really bring more kind of meaning, to really build a better world. It may sound really cliche, but I really think that freedom of the press, having free journalists being able to really write down the right stories, help to create a better world.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with fake news is that we are overwhelmed by the volume of information. We don't know which information is true. It's becoming very challenging and very difficult to find our way across all this volume of data, information, and messages.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, the importance of reputable brands, reputable publisher brands who have a real role to play, because they are the caution, they are the insurance that the information I am reading has been validated and is a real thing that I need to take into account. So this is one of the threats, because as we've seen, they need obviously to do more, and they've got a real fact-checking kind of responsibility here, but at the same time, they are getting less and less money from the money which is spent from the advertising side.
Yeah.
So we are got into a sort of a real kind of challenge, and most of the publishers are really changing the sort of model they want to have. Some of them are going into some paywall approach, which you definitely understand, because they still need to pay the people who are creating this mm-hmm. content. They still need money to be able to pay the people who are investigating the right stories.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, if you cannot afford to pay for that money, you are not kept within a secure and trusted flow of information. You are open to opinions, fake news, quite a lot of messages. Some of them are the right ones, some of them are very, very confusing.
Mm-hmm.
So these are meaning the sort of challenges, I think, that the publishers and actually the whole industry have been facing lately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, I think the subscription model, it's interesting because you see it a little bit more these days. I think it definitely works for a bigger publisher like the New York Times, the Washington Post. These companies have been actually earning more money and getting more subscriptions lately. But for smaller publishers, it gets harder. It's harder to monetize that audience.
It's a real challenge, because how many online publishers' subscription you're going to be able to pay?
Mm-hmm.
You may be paying for 1, 2, 3, 4, but that's going to be a limit, right?
Yeah.
Which wasn't something that with before, when everything was free and in a free access or in a freemium model. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you. It's another kind of challenge for the ones who are starting off late and want obviously to be there.
Mm-hmm. And so here at Varanida, we're focusing on new advertising solutions that help publishers, but also advertisers and the readers, as you know.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you, what convinced you to be one of our advisors?
So beyond the fact that I had the opportunity to discuss with Angie in a few occasions on some of his previous kind of ventures, mm-hmm. I think that the real opportunity here is really to leverage blockchain and really leverage what the benefits blockchain can bring to this industry, which is still poised to grow by 20% every year between now and 2020. Mm-hmm. So there is still a lot of things that are going to be there. A lot of people are going to be investing. Audience are not reducing. Audience are growing against all the other media. So there is no questions about that. And the point is, I think that blockchain, because of its decentralized structure, because of its capacity to build trust amongst an ecosystem, is essential. Meaning this is what's going to help online advertising to really get to the next stage. Mm-hmm. Varanida seems to me to be a very good approach about that, because it really puts the users at the center of it. Ultimately, better ads will come with better data, and better data comes with user having a greater control on how they want their data to be used, to be in control about who's going to be using the data, mm-hmm. to be in control about what the data could potentially bring them in terms of additional information, maybe advertising, but they will be in control, meaning advertising is going to be hopefully much less intrusive, much more relevant, and in that same way, much better. Fewer ads, better ads, greater conversion, more advertisers feeling comfortable about it, mm-hmm. and a clearer supply chain so that more of the value is going to be going from advertisers onto publishers. Mm-hmm. This is why I think a lot remains to be done, and this is why I think Varanida is an amazing project.
And so earlier you mentioned how up until last year or so, Google and Facebook were essentially sharing the overwhelming majority of the advertising cost, because they were the biggest places to influence those markets and put these ads. You also said that this part, the 80% share, was going to start shrinking a little bit for them. Could you develop why? I think Varanida is part of the answer, but I'd like to see what you have to say.
So I would say that there are two things. First one is, when everybody saw these numbers coming from IAB US last year, end of last year, everybody freaked out.
Yeah.
Meaning, because that meant essentially that the vast majority of the players would be fighting for a very reduced slice of the pie. Mm-hmm. And this is not meaning good, right? If you have monopolies of this size within that industry, you're not going to think that the industry is going to grow and going to become better. So everybody freaked out. And at the same time, a lot of blockchain projects came in to really say, we need to change the game. We need to change the approach, and we need to bring new kind of solutions. So I think that we are seeing now sort of a reverse trend about a lot of people feeling concerned about investing more on this closed platform. And it started since last year, frankly. You see YouTube, for example, last year, with the challenge of some brands not wanting to have their ads before some very harsh and hated content. You had also, meaning the challenge very recently, of the Facebook data, which was leveraged by Cambridge Analytica, and all the portability of data through apps, and the fact that actually users were not even aware that the data was exchanged and potentially sold, which is a breach on some of the terms and conditions of the Facebook platform. But still, having a platform, having these T's and C's and not being able to enforce them, that's a big problem in itself. Mm-hmm. So you've got all these kind of themes, and at the same time, everybody understand that blockchain could be a solution. Blockchain could be a solution because it's a, and the way to simplify blockchain at its best, it's a trust machine. It's building trust amongst people within the same ecosystem. Mm-hmm. And this is what we need. Meaning this is the most important thing that this industry needs right now. So Vara Nida will be bringing that. Not Vara Nida is not the only solution around, but I think that it's going to be very important because all these efforts could potentially help people to reconsider and not going and spending their money mm-hmm. on Google or Facebook because it's simply easy and because they have the feeling that they're going to have less fraud because Google and Facebook control the platform from A to Z.
Yeah, like clearly the Google and Facebook model can be powerful, but it's also very opaque, which I think is one of the biggest thing with the blockchain is, like you said, the trust engine, the transparency that it brings, the fact that no one can hide or alter the data.
Exactly.
And so with all that being said, we're reaching the end of this conversation, and I'd like to ask you, in your eyes, from your perspective, you've been in this industry for a while, you've seen all those changes. What does the future look like for publishers?
I think that the future for publishers could be bright mm-hmm. if they keep focusing on great content. Mm-hmm. Investing in quality is going to be the way for them to prevail and to keep growing. They need, obviously, to respect the users, meaning to really have some great ad formats, not too many of them. And really focus on quality rather than quantity. Mm-hmm. And on top of great content, this is how they're going to prevail because they need to leverage their brands.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a simple answer, but sometimes that's what we need. Like we've seen so many of the same articles on the same publishers. You know, like a new tech story is going to happen, and you're going to find it on essentially 5 different websites to say exactly the same thing. So hopefully adding some higher level thoughts and maybe editorial content, maybe opinion, really giving each publisher their own voices, that's going to help as well.
Absolutely, meaning we are living in an even more complex world and we need publishers to be able to bring the additional information, the underlying keys for mm-hmm. the people to better understand the untold story or the greater context.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely agree. I think that's about it for now, but really, I want to thank you for being here on the screencast and the podcast with me to do this interview. And I hope we can talk soon because this industry is going through some big changes.
We will surely do that. Thank you, Thibaut, for your time.
No Bye-bye. Problem. Thank you, Jean-Christophe. Bye.
Bye-bye.
If you're listening to this as a podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play, make sure to subscribe and feel free to leave us a review. Otherwise, catch us on Anchor under the username Varanida or anchor.fm/Varanida. On Anchor, you can interact with us and share your questions and thoughts. And every few weeks, we'll take your questions and respond in a Q&A. Make sure to follow us on Twitter @Varanida_VAD or find us online at varanida.com.